One of the Green Party's top-ranking list candidates at the last election says he won't stand again because he's unhappy with the party's direction. Jack McDonald was 11th on the party's list in 2017 and is also standing down as the party's policy co-convener. Speaking after the party's annual general meeting in Dunedin at the weekend, he said party leader, co-leader James Shaw is too centrist and too willing to make compromises and that a large part of the party's membership don't want.
The Zero Carbon Act is an example, I think, of where James Shaw could have been stronger. He admitted publicly that he gave concessions to the National Party without even getting their guaranteed support for the bill. So I think there are a number of issues where his approach to politics are different to what I think the Greens should be and what the Greens were in terms of our roots.
Well, joining me in the studio are the Greens co-leaders Marama Davidson and James Shaw. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
I'll start first with you, James Shaw, and responding to that from Jack McDonald. You're too timid and too centrist. Has he got a point when it comes to the carbon zero legislation?
No, look, this was always going to be difficult in our first term of government ever, moving into a situation where we've got to make compromises and got to be practical.
Why
to
do you have to make compromises on the carbon zero bill?
Because under MMP, you know, there are many parties in Parliament and they've all got different views.
Well, that's sure, New Zealand First and Labour, but you don't actually have to have the support of National to pass this legislation, so why negotiate with them and potentially water down the carbon zero bill?
Well, you've got to remember that this piece of legislation has to stay in place for 30 years. It's got to survive multiple changes of government. And the very clear signal that we've had from both the environmental movement and actually from corporate New Zealand is that they desperately want bipartisan support for the bill to make sure that there is that long-term stability.
Doesn't that just highlight Jack McDonald's point that you have tried to be too centrist here? Rather than perhaps give your party what it wants, which is a tougher carbon zero bill, you've gone for the compromise option to try and get National support.
Well, if we had just come in and if somehow, 8 members of Parliament out of 120 were able to click their fingers and say, we'll get the perfect bill through, I can guarantee you it wouldn't survive much past the next election. So the whole point of this legislation is that we're trying to create a framework that's going to survive over multiple decades. That does involve some compromises. The most important thing for me was having that temperature goal of 1.5 degrees of global warming as the purpose of the Act. Everything that the Act does has to basically support that goal.
Before I go to Marama, just one quick more follow-up question on that. How much more compromise are you willing to make in terms of the split gases? And we know that there's the top bracket, which is between 24 and 47% of the methane gas. This is the one where the rubber hits the road for dairy farmers. The dairy industry says it will decimate their industry. Are you going to compromise on that target?
Well, the numbers that are contained in the bill are almost identical to those that were provided to us by the Biological Emissions Reference Group that was set up by the previous national government. And that was an industry-led group that came and said that they thought, provided technological change, that would be able to be achieved.
So no compromise on that target?
Well, here's the thing. It's at Select Committee now, and if you're going to change that target, you would have to prove that scientifically you could live within the 1.5
degree. But this is really important for the Greens, because this is the tough bit. Mm-hmm. This is the bit that isn't easy, and the bit about where compromise really matters. Will you move on that target, that bit? Because that is the bit that they're really unhappy about.
Well, it is, but here's the thing. You would have to prove that scientifically any change to the target would meet the requirement of living within 1.5 degrees of global warming. And I haven't seen any science yet that suggests that you could do less than what is required for the rest of the planet and do that.
Marama Davidson, you've announced a new housing policy, a rent-to-own policy. Again, how radical is this when it comes to the Greens? It was in your supply and confidence agreement, and you're really only saying that this is the one that you will prioritise for negotiation.
It is a priority that we have to deliver because of our supply and confidence agreement. But I was also very clear in my AGM speech that we want to move housing away from being a commodity and back to being a fundamental human right rather than a privilege. So I was very clear that what the Greens stand for along the whole spectrum of the housing crisis, ending homelessness, making things fairer for renters, making sure homes are healthy, moving away from
but
a market
approach.
But why
choose that particular issue when Labor's already trying to deal with many of these things with Kiwi Build, the reset, for example, when that the rent-to-own policy was part of the welfare working group's recommendations, so it presumably got some support from, potentially from Labor, although they haven't obviously enacted it, why not pick up one of their other recommendations, for example, the increase in benefits or something like that? Make that your priority, which might then appeal to your base
that's
saying you're
not... That is absolutely our priority.
But not higher than rent to own.
Oh, we can't. So it's definitely part of our confidence and supply agreement as well. And we can't look at these things as trade-offs against each other. They're absolutely part of progressive transformational change alongside increasing main income and benefits under the welfare system. We want to also address housing, and they are part of solving inequality as
a whole. But I guess the point I'm making here is that the people you're targeting with the Kiwi Buy or the rent to own are people who might be in a position to get a mortgage.
No. So that's...
Well, they have to be at some point, don't they?
No. So this is where we're very clear and differentiate. We are targeting people who are able to pay rent but have no chance of getting near a deposit because of the cost of high rents and cost of living. People who are locked out of the housing market are the people that we want to be able to take.
But at some point, they have to take on a mortgage, and a bank has to be able to back them to pay that mortgage. They have to have an income high enough to sustain a mortgage, right?
To sustain rent, yes, they do have to be able to pay rent. Yes, you're right, but have got no chance of being able to save
it. I need to be clear here, because my understanding of the policy is that once they pay rent for a while.
Yep.
Once they've built up their deposit, at some point they take on the mortgage of the house off the government. Is that not correct?
Yes, it is, which they would never have been able to do without that government assistance. And we are hearing this will make a huge difference for thousands of households and families if we were to put this in place alongside completely ramping up public and state
housing. I mean, and this is a sad indictment on where we are as a society, but what you're saying here is that essentially, though, they still have to have an income that can sustain...
Yep.
A pretty heavy mortgage. I mean,
that's our policy for rent to own, alongside a massive ramp up of public and state
housing as well.
But doesn't that
back up the argument that that is a centrist policy, James Shaw?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I would just say it's good policy. You know, as Marama says, if you just increased benefit levels without fixing the housing market, then all of that additional money would immediately get soaked up in rentals. So you actually have to do both at the same time. Whether you call that a right-wing policy or a left-wing policy or a centrist policy is neither here nor there. We know that rent-to-own schemes have worked really well in other parts of the world. There are housing providers like Habitat for Humanity who have been very successful in getting people into housing here. What we're talking about is really supercharging the work that those providers have done.
I want to touch on an issue which you launched an attack in your opening day of your speech. You talked about the new climate deniers. Are you not playing the same style of whatever you want to call it, Trumpian-type politics, playing the man, not the ball-type politics by using this sort of language about national? They are not climate change deniers.
What I'm saying is that there is a... I actually think that there is a form of climate denialism that's moved on from kind of that old school, you know...
But you don't want that. You're dog whistling.
No, I'm not.
Doing exactly what they are accused of doing by signalling, using the word deny and denial... You want to associate them with people who don't believe in climate change.
No, what I'm saying is actually that there's a campaign of lies and misinformation that is being spread, and it's been used as an excuse to slow down urgent action on climate change, and we actually cannot afford that. Our window of opportunity to fix climate change is narrowing rapidly, and what we're hearing, particularly from Simon Bridges, but also from others, is it's like it's all too hard, or you know that actually we can kind of fix it without changing anything. And to me, honestly speaking, that is merely an evolution of the
but
old climate
Davidson,
denialism.
Aren't National, for a start, they were the ones who commissioned the Productivity Commission report, which you've championed and want to implement all their policies. They've signed up to the Paris Agreement. Sure, they are arguing the toss over the transformation, but haven't they got a reasonable case to make that argument when we look at the costs to New Zealanders will be, if the price of carbon, for example, is to go to, let's say, $100 US a tonne, which is a conservative estimate, according to the Productivity Commission report, that would be 28 cents a litre added to the retail price of petrol. It's not unreasonable, is it, for National to say, hey, we think the costs might be too high. We're not saying we deny it.
It's really dangerous to ignore the costs of the impacts of climate change, and that's what they continue to do. They keep attempting to virtue signal to caring for lower income communities. It's lower income communities who will absolutely be hammered and are being hammered by the impacts on climate change, and that is why they don't want to change the system. They want to uphold the status quo and move the deck chairs around on a sinking Titanic. And that's why James and I are very clear that their approach is dangerous.
Just one final question. James Shaw, you've ruled out National as a potential coalition partner. There was a little pause last night when you were asked about it on one of the channels. New Zealand First. What's the deal here? Would you go into a coalition agreement with them next time round, or would you go into a similar arrangement as to this next time round?
Well, ultimately, the voters get to decide what the formation of government looks like. But I was asked if I would support Simon Bridges to become Prime Minister over Jacinda Ardern, and I cannot imagine why I would do that. Jacinda is an extraordinary leader. The work that we're doing with the Labour Party is, you know, I think it is transformational, and we're making huge progress.
And what about the Deputy Prime Minister of New Zealand, Winston Peters? Are you comfortable to work with him again?
Well, we've been working very well together for the last 18 months.
This arrangement is potentially still on for a future next term if need be.
Well, ultimately, voters get to choose that.
Very good. James Shaw, Marama Davidson, co-leaders of the Green Party. Thank you very much
Thank
for your time.
You.